This episode is sponsored by Hired.com. Are you searching for a new job? That can be stressful, scary, and time-consuming. Pushy recruiters try to sell you on roles you don't actually want, and the job boards make you feel like you're throwing your resume into a black hole, never to be seen again. And sometimes you go all the way through the interview process just to find out at the very end that the salary, offer, or company culture doesn't match what you're looking for. Hired is the world's most intelligent talent matching platform for full-time and contract opportunities in engineering, development, design, product management, data science, sales, and marketing. We make your job search faster, focused, and stress-free. Instead of endlessly applying to companies and hoping for the best, Hired puts you in control of when and how you connect with compelling new opportunities. After completing one simple application, top employers apply to hire you. And on Hired, you receive personal interview requests and upfront salary information so you can make informed decisions about what opportunities to pursue over a condensed timeline. Hired offers access to more than 4,000 innovative employers, including big brand names like Facebook and smaller emerging startups. The size and type of company you want to connect with is totally up to you. And we help you find new opportunities in 17 major cities in North America, Europe, Asia, and Australia. Open to relocation? Let them know. Your privacy and autonomy in your job search is of utmost importance. So if you check them out at the show's link, that's hired.com/freelancershow, you can get double their normal hiring bonus. That's $600 instead of $300. So go check them out at hired.com/freelancershow.
Hello there, and welcome to episode number 257 of The Freelancer Show. This week on our panel, we have me, Reuven Lerner, and just me. That's right. It's one of those solo editions of The Freelancer Show that we do, well, because no one else could show up. In any event, this week's episode, I'm going to be talking about a product launch. I am recording this on a Wednesday night. We usually record on Tuesdays, but I'm recording this, don't tell anyone, on a Wednesday night, less than 24 hours, probably about 12 hours before my newest product launch. And I thought it would be interesting and fun to take you through my history with products, what I did this time around in terms of choosing a product, beefing up my marketing, getting ready to launch, and getting the launch sequence in place. And hopefully have a really successful launch in the next few days. So first of all, just to give you some background, I have been trying to sell things online for a few years, and I've had medium success with that. The first thing I tried to sell online actually was a course, and that went over like a lead balloon. And I remember at the time, this was probably about 3-4 years ago, I was in touch with Brennan Dunn and I asked him what I could do to improve my chances of having people sign up for my online course. And by an online course, I mean a live, you know, via WebEx or some similar thing, people paying me money, hundreds of dollars, to participate in one of my Python courses. But instead of having to fly somewhere, either me fly there or them fly there, I did it online. And Brennan was very charitable. And he said, well, it's going to be a really tough sell for you to sell to people who haven't really bought anything from you before. And this is where I was introduced to the idea of a product ladder, where you have small products and then bigger products and bigger products. And Brennan and other people have often said that the people who bought the cheap small products, then those who were happy with those cheap small products moved up to buy bigger and more expensive products. So Brennan's point to me was basically, you're not going to go from getting zero from people to $1,000 or $2,000 from people. That's just really unlikely. Instead, what you need to do is build things up. So I decided write an ebook. And I wrote an ebook called Practice Makes Python. And that came actually from speaking with students of mine who kept asking me, what can I do after the course to increase my Python skills and improve them so that I'll be more fluent in programming for my actual work? And I didn't have a good answer for them, but I did see this as a business opportunity. So I wrote my ebook and I self-published it. And I've sold a fair number of copies. I've gotten a few thousand dollars from it. Not, you know, an overwhelming amount, but not bad either. And I've done media marketing for it. I probably could do much more marketing for it as well. And this inspired me, and I should say, like, I have three tiers, I do the whole thing, I don't want to get into that too much here. That inspired me to write another book. And what was another course that I was teaching at the time that seemed to be in great demand, that people were having a lot of pain points with? Because that's what you want to do, right? You want to find something that people are having pain with. So I wrote a book on regular expressions called, very uncreatively, Practice Makes Regexp, making it both most loathed and most unpronounceable book title ever produced. And how do I know that it's loathed? Because I'm actually running, and I'll talk more about this in a little bit, I'm actually running a Facebook campaign, not for the book itself, but for regular expressions. And if you thought people hated regular expressions, you have no idea how much people really hate regular expressions. People really, really despise these things, run away from them. They will do almost anything they can not to use regular expressions. And so offering them a book that gives them a chance to practice regular expressions is like saying, here, have this jar of poison and then take it one day at a time. And people are no more likely to do that than to drink the entire bottle, or so we could hope. So that book has sold pretty miserably, truth be told. The people who have bought it who are very happy with it. But the book itself has sold pretty miserably. I also did another small ebook, and this was more a labor of love, but I've tried to sell a few copies, and I've sold, I guess, a few dozen copies overall, and that's The Jewish Guide to Visiting China. That's just because I visit China a lot. I'm Jewish. I keep kosher, keep the Sabbath, and so I thought it would be interesting and useful for people to know what to do and how to do when they visit China, along with a whole lot of other travel tips for there. That I'm probably going to expand on in the coming weeks, actually, but again, it's more of a labor of love because I see that the number of people who would be interested in buying it is relatively small. So what did I learn from all these launches? I learned, first of all, that you want to have a good, as they say, product market fit. It's very nice to say, I think this book would be really interesting. What you need to do is find out, are there people out there who would find your product to be interesting? And more importantly, are there people out there who would find the product to be interesting enough that they want to pay money for it? And so you really want to do some good market research. Amy Hoy talks about this as a, sales safari, where you go online and you sort of poke around and see what are people talking about? What are they constantly mentioning? And she obviously goes into much more depth on this, but the idea is you want to really get a good lay of the land. What are people suffering from and suffering with that you can come and solve their problems? And so I would say I had a number of problems with my launch. One was, first of all, like the value prospect for a lot of these things was not super, super high. But also, who was I marketing it to? Well, I tried marketing it to my email list, but my email list at the time was a few hundred people at the most. And so already that's kind of going to be a hard sell because you're never going to get more than, say, 10% of the people on your list to buy anything. So if you had, let's say, I think at that point I had 300 people on my list, so 10% would have been 30 sales. I guess I got about that. I guess by that measure, it was a pretty successful launch. But also, my list wasn't really that heavily targeted. It was just, hey, do you want to learn more about programming from me? And so I realized that if I was going to launch more products, I was going to have to be much more serious about my list. I was going to have to think about it, change what I did, and change what I do. And I did it in a few different ways. First of all, I decided to, instead of just every so often sending something, oh, and by the way, do not make the mistake that I made, which was every time I'd send to my list, I'd say, oh, I'm so sorry. It's been so long since I wrote to the list. I mean, it seemed very natural at the time, but oh my God, no one wants to hear that. No one wants to know that. Write to the list. Pretend you're excited and happy and hope that they'll be excited and happy to hear from you. And if you write to them and say, oh, I'm so sorry it's been so long. Really? They haven't heard from you in months. Now the first thing you do is apologize. Don't do that. Second thing is, though, you do want to write on a regular schedule. And everyone talks about this. Now, of course, Philip and Jonathan are like the ninja warriors of this, where they're writing to their lists every day. I don't know how they do it, but they do. It's very impressive and good reading. But I decided I was going to write a weekly update to my list. And I also gave the list a semi-snazzy name. I called it Let's Become Better Developers. And the idea was, on your site, on your website, if you say, join my mailing list, the answer will be no. Or the answer will be why. People are only going to join their mailing list if they see value. So instead of saying, join my list, I said, let's become better developers. Let's all learn together. I'm going to learn stuff and I'm going to try to share it with you. And hopefully you'll learn from me. And then you can tell me about it and we'll have a nice conversation. So I started writing weekly to my list and I decided to target mostly about Python. I mostly teach Python. I'm interested in Python. There are a ton of Python programmers out there who want to know the language better. And so over time, it's basically become Python plus a few other things. I've written about GUIs, sort of GUI versus web. I've written about what you need to do to become a successful software engineer. I've written about a bunch of topics, but I would say a good 75-80% of the content is Python related, and that's on purpose. I want people who are not interested in Python to leave my list. I mean, not like leave and slam the door, but leave the list mostly. Okay, so I'm writing every week to my list. I'm writing on specific topics, and I'm telling people on my blog, if they come there, hey, you should join my list because I'm learning all these things and I want to share them with you. That is a little more compelling. And by the way, I should say, I have gotten a fair number of subscribers to my list through this. I also am using what's it called, AppSumo. I think it's called AppSumo or SumoMe on my blog, which is run in WordPress. I've had mediocre success with that so far. I probably get one or two subscribers a day, which is like not terrible, but it's not exactly the overwhelming numbers that I would have hoped for. So people are dribbling in. Where do I get people from, though, for my list? And then I'll pivot to other topics having to do with my product launch in a moment. So I've tried a few different things. First of all, I decided I want to get people on my main list. So I actually had a nice conversation with Kurt Elster and Kai Davis, I guess it's like 2 years ago or so, where they suggested that I have email courses. And at the end of the email course, I put them onto my main list. So that's what I've done in Drip. Basically, I have a main Drip campaign. Like my main campaign is let's become better developers. That's what I write to all the time. That's what I want people to get on. That's what I'm going to be pitching products to. But people don't often join because of that. Rather, they join because of my email courses. I have an email course about regular expressions. I have an email course about Boolean indexing in pandas. I have an email course about working with files in Python. I have like 6, 7, 8 different email courses right now. At the end of each and every email course, I use Drip automation to say to them, hey, I'm so glad, or I hope you got value out of the email you've been receiving over the last N days. I am now going to, I write actually every week to my list. And so I'm going to add you to that, and then you can continue to hear from me every Monday. And so far, almost no one has unsubscribed. And if they have, good riddance. Ha, I didn't want them anyway. And so what happens is then you can tell people, hey, come to learn something. And they get used to hearing from you, and then they get on your main list. The other thing I should mention is my Let's Become Better Developers list, that campaign in Drip, is what's called an evergreen campaign. So if you subscribe today, and dear podcast listener, I very much hope you will subscribe. If you subscribe today, what's going to happen is you will this coming Monday get issue number one. The issue number one that I wrote 35, 36 weeks ago. And then you'll get issue number two the next week and number three. As long as I write faster than the most veteran members of my list, everyone will get something every week. And I can just keep dropping people into that campaign and they will continue to get new content. Meaning if I can run ahead of the most recent people, or I guess the oldest people if I want to. But sometimes I just haven't written for a week or two because I've been too busy. And so some people don't get anything, but most people actually do get something because they're just moving through my sequence of messages. And so that just becomes a Drip campaign that has no end. They will just keep going through it forever. And I'll keep writing for it forever because it's kind of fun. Now, why did I do this? Why did I build this up? Because I wanted people who are interested in Python. I wanted them on my list. And simply saying, come on my list was not reasonable. So I did indeed play a long game. And that's part of what you have to do with these product launches. You have to say, I want to launch something 6 months or a year from now. I'm going to try to get more people to come to my list and join it so that when it comes time to sell, I'll have someone to sell to. Now, the other thing I did was I advertised on Facebook. And this has had mixed results. Advertising your newsletter on Facebook is almost guaranteed to be expensive and a failure. No one, I mean, if you think it's bad, like advertising your mailing list on your blog or on your website, it's even worse on Facebook. Who's going through their Facebook feed saying, oh, I only wish I could subscribe to some programmer's newsletter. But if you say to them, hey, why don't you subscribe to my email course? I will teach you how to do Boolean indexing in pandas and NumPy. I will teach you how to do regular expressions. I will teach you, and name the thing that you want to teach, that you can teach, put together an email course. And so that, I would say, has been more expensive than I would have liked. I've been paying I paid a few thousand dollars over the last few months, but I did that actually as an investment, first of all, to sort of experiment with Facebook ads and see what I could do with them, but also because I'm sort of hoping that I'm now going to get all sorts of people on my list. I have people on my list now. It's grown by about 2,000 people in the last few months. And this means now that when I launch, I'll have that many more people to whom I can pitch. And I'm hoping that it will be more than worthwhile. So I decided to make an investment, both in terms of time on my list and in terms of money to get people on my list. And it's quite possible that there would have been better, smarter, other ways to get people on my list. By the way, another way that I get people to my list is that, so when I blog about technical subjects. And many technical subjects, especially things like Python and other programming languages, have these planet aggregators. So people don't necessarily want to look for all the blogs about Python. So they go to Planet Python, and Planet Python aggregates all the different blogs about Python. So by getting my blog in there in Planet Python, it means that every time I blog about Python, I get up to an extra 8,000 people looking at my blog post. Well, when I announce a new email course, when I announce a new product, that, and if it has to do with Python, that's going to be a lot of additional people. I'm sort of, as they like to say, borrowing an audience. I'm using the general Python world's audience and adding it to mine. So I specifically tried to write things about Python that would sort of interest people interested in Python to come to my blog. And at the end of the blog post, I would say, hey, did you like this? Maybe you'd like to sign up for my list as well. because I publish to it every Monday and I have blah, 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 blah. So this actually worked as well. And so it's always a combination of things. Relying on one method to get people to your list is probably not going to work so well. You're going to have to try a bunch of different things. And you'll see some of them work better than others. Some of them are more expensive than others. Some things that I've not done are these Twitter cards, where when someone goes to your Twitter account, they can sign up for your list. I have not used things like Buffer, which will repost things to Twitter and other social media. Maybe I should. So once I had a bunch of people on my list, and I think I was about the 2,000, 2,500 person mark. This was probably in January. I'm recording this in June. So in about January, I had a bunch of thoughts about what my next product should be. I wasn't sure if I should record courses and make them available online. I wasn't sure if I should do video courses, if I should do more webinars. Wasn't really sure what I should do. So I surveyed my list. This is Marcus Blankenship gave me this suggestion. He was like, you don't know what people want? Ask them. So I set up a survey in SurveyMonkey, which is free if, as I discovered, you get up to 100 results. If you get more than 100 results, then they will say, hey, you want to see more results? You'd better pay. I paid. It was very effective marketing and upsell for them because I wanted my data. Very, very smart of them. In any event, so I put together a survey and I sent an email to my list saying, hey, what would you like me to do next? What would you like to learn? And I gave a whole bunch of different options of topics. So now we know what topics people on my list are interested in. And I gave a bunch of different things that I could do. Would you like video courses? Would you like webinars? And I just sort of threw out there this idea that I had a while ago. What about a weekly Python exercise where you get emailed the question on one day each week, and later in the week, you get emailed the answer? I was gobsmacked.
This episode is sponsored by Angular Dev Summit, coming September 11th through the 18th, 2017. Hi, it's Chuck from DevChat.tv. I reached out to some of my friends in the Angular community to put on a completely free, no-travel conference for Ruby developers. We have speakers like Rob Wormald, Jeff Welpley, and others coming to speak about all kinds of topics in Angular. So if you're trying to learn Angular or you're trying to level up Angular, come check it out. The talks are happening throughout the day each day, and we'll have a chat available during each session. Attending the talks is free, but you need to register. Go to angulardevsummit.com.
I was flabbergasted. I was shocked to pieces that, first of all, I got, I think, like 200, 300 results from the survey. People really wanted to answer. It was quite extraordinary. Moreover, more than 80% of the people on my list said, yes, I would like to have a weekly Python exercise. In other words, I had enough people on my list to be able to ask. I then asked them, what would you like me to sell to you? And 80% said, if you sell this to us, we would like it. Now, I didn't tell them I'd be paying for it, although I think that was implicit. And many people will lie or make me feel good or whatnot. So it's not like, does not mean that 80% of the people on my list are really going to be buying a product. But it was an indication that this is so overwhelmingly strong, way more than anything else, way more than the second place was maybe half of that in terms of percentage. So I said, okay, I'd better do something about this. So I bought a domain, weeklypythonexercise.com, and I thought about what I want to do and how I do it. And I realized actually a drip campaign will work perfectly for this. Because in drip, you can schedule it according to days, you can schedule it according to timing. So I realized I could very easily create one of these evergreen campaigns where Tuesday they'd get with a question, every Friday they'd get the answer. Whenever you join the list, you would then start with number one, question number one, and move on and on and on. And so I sent out email to my list, a broadcast, I guess it was in March or April, saying, hey, I am going to be doing this. I got such amazing responses back from people. And by the way, I should mention, I've mentioned this on the podcast a few times in the past. I have been writing a column for Linux Journal for more than 20 years now, just about every month. I think in a given month, I get more responses to my email list than I ever have from my column, like altogether from my column. It is overwhelming how people on an email list want to interact. If you offer them the chance to interact, they will. And so asking, what do you think? They will tell you. And almost all of them said they were excited, or the people who responded. People said, well, I hope it's advanced. Other people said, I hope it's basic, an introductory. So I'm going to have to do a mix of that. And then I made the mistake of promising people that it would be starting on a specific date in April. So Douglas Adams, the author of The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, once said that he loved deadlines. He loved the whooshing sound they made as they flew past him. And I must admit that I am partial to that quote also because it describes me, because I'm trying to do so many things and I'm often late with doing some of them. So I figured, okay, this is going to be a forcing function, right? Like if I tell people it's starting on, I don't know, April 15th or something, then I will have to do it by April 15th. Except that April 15th came and it went and I had not launched weekly Python exercise. And I kept saying, well, when I travel, I'm away from my family, so I'll have time to do it. When I travel away from my family, I did not do it. So I finally decided enough is enough. I really want to get this done, especially want to get it done before the W Freelancing Conference in Stockholm that I'm hoping to attend next week. I say hoping because we have some family issues I might have to deal with. So if any of you are listening to this and I was not there, now you know that's why. And if I was there, then I'm glad we resolved those issues. There you go. So I said, okay, I really want to launch this. What am I going to do? And I talked about it with a friend of mine. And we said, okay, what do I need to do? I just need to set it up, like do this in the simplest possible way. And there's actually a membership site called The Membership Guys. And I joined it for a little while. I put that on pause because it wasn't really exactly what I wanted. But they gave me the advice, if you're thinking of doing a membership site, launch with something simple that you can do, that you can start, that if it works, it's great. And if it does not work, you can pull out and you haven't put in a huge investment. So I decided, okay, I'm going to do this weekly Python exercise. I can create exercises pretty easily. I do it all the time, and I find it to be fun and challenging. I wrote up a list of different ideas and sort of kept gathering lists, like this list of ideas and adding to it as I was teaching on site in various companies. And I said, okay, I'm going to do this. So I set mid-June, which it is now, more or less, as my, well, I guess early June now, but fine, as my target. I said, okay, what do I need to do? First of all, I need to set up a drip campaign. Second of all, I need to be able to do e-commerce and have it so that people can do recurring payments as a subscription monthly or annually, that when their subscription starts, they're added to the drip campaign. And when it stops, they're removed from the drip campaign. I need to, like, there are all these little things to take care of. And so the last week or two, the most recent week or two, was full of all these little logistical things. I must say, what really saved the day, I was planning to use, I can't even remember what it was. There's a site that deals with membership stuff. Oh, I know. Jonathan mentioned it's called MoonClerk. He mentioned it on a previous episode. And I went to MoonClerk and it looked great, except that it only works with US-based companies and I'm an Israeli-based company. So I actually, no joke, wrote to their support and I said, hey, I have an Israeli-based company. I would love to use you, but you use Stripe. What solutions do you suggest? By the way, don't tell me to incorporate an American company because that's not really on my agenda. The response, I kid you not, was, we're sorry, we don't support Israel. Have you considered incorporating a new company in America? Because then you can use Stripe. Yes, I had considered that. That was not really on my plan. So I looked around a bit more, and actually someone on a Slack channel said, hey, why don't you try Easy Digital Downloads? I was like, what are you talking about? I've never heard of this thing before. So Easy Digital Downloads, it turns out, is a plugin for WordPress, and the plugin itself is free. This is also a brilliant business. The plugin is free, but all sorts of add-ons cost you. They cost a few $100 total. I probably spent like $200-$300 total on that in the last week or two to get things set up, but it's super duper impressive. So I've bought extensions for Zapier and for recurring subscriptions, recurring payments they call it, and for 2Checkout as a payment gateway. I'll talk about that more in a moment. And I set it up. Now I'm no WordPress genius. I've done lots of web programming, but really very little WordPress. You have to get used to the fact that what we would refer to as a product, they refer to as a download, because of course it's Easy Digital Downloads. And over time, it's become way more sophisticated than just that, but I guess they kept the original name. So I set up Easy Digital Downloads. I set it up to connect with PayPal, because that's like easy and free and so on and so forth. I started setting it up to work with 2Checkout as well, which is a different payment gateway, partly to see what it would be like, and partly because 2Checkout works with many different countries. And I know that there are many people and countries that don't have PayPal, don't have credit cards, and don't want to have to deal with such things. And so I set it up so that I had my weekly Python exercise URL domain would redirect you to a sales page on my WordPress site, on my website, learner.co.il, all about weekly Python exercise. And then you could click on a button there to go buy it under these easy digital downloads. That would in turn then notify, well, PayPal would deal with the payment. When the payment went through, I would then get via Zapier a notice in Drip saying, add this person to the campaign. And then this coming Tuesday, the subscribers will get issue number one. So it actually, and I did a whole bunch of testing, it actually seems to work. So where do I stand now? Really, I said, I just got to do this thing and it's going to be messy and I'm going to have mistakes, but I just got to start already. So what did I do? I finally sent another message. So it's now, as I said, Wednesday. So on Tuesday, yesterday, I sent a message to my list. Not everyone on my list, just on the Better Developers list, and on the Better Developers campaign. And I must admit, I made a bit of a mistake with that. I should have only sent it to people who had been on my list for like at least a week or two and had been getting stuff from me. Because I saw I got a bunch of unsubscribes, and they were from people who had joined recently. So I think basically people join my list saying, oh, let's get some great content. And then the first thing they get from me is, hey, I've got this thing I'm going to be charging you for. That's not why they signed up for my list. And okay, so I'm a little disappointed in myself, but not the end of the world. So I decided to have a three-part, four-part launch sequence. First part was yesterday, in which I said, hey, this is coming on Thursday. Get ready. Now, I must say, I got a bunch of messages from people saying, oh my God, this is exactly what I need. Wow, that's like a really great feeling. That's like good market validation there. They haven't paid money yet, but that's good. Today, Wednesday, I sent out email saying, hey, I've received a few questions from people, and I figured I'd address them in an FAQ. By the way, did I really get questions from people? Yes. Did I get as many as the email would imply? No. Did I add a few questions of my own that I just wanted to sort of force onto people to give them an understanding of what I'm planning to do? Yes. Am I a liar, a cheat, and a scoundrel? Quite possibly, but it seems to have worked. Because after I sent that, I said, okay, tomorrow it's going to be launching, and it's going to cost $15 a month, and you can buy it annually, and there'll be a student discount. I started getting email from people, not a lot of people, but I got email from a handful of people saying, hey, I went to your site, and I saw the weekly Python exercise checkout, but I didn't see any code for academics, like what's the student discount, all these little things that indicated people were not waiting for my launch. People were actually going to my website, reading my sales copy, which I must admit was still in draft form because I figured no one was going to go there. So I had a day to work on this stuff. And then I could deal with it. Well, so my plan is to do the full launch tomorrow on Thursday. I have it queued up and drip in a broadcast. It will go out, I think, at 11 a.m. in the local time zone. So wherever you live, you get 11 a.m., unless we don't know your time zone, in which case we get it at my 11 a.m. Israel time, which is oh so useful. Okay, so basically tomorrow I'm hoping to have a lot of sales. Do I know if I'll have a lot of sales? Absolutely not. Will I make mistakes? I absolutely will. But I'm very excited, proud, happy to say I already have two subscribers. That's right. Two people were so excited about subscribing to this. They didn't email me in advance. They didn't ask. They didn't check if it was up and running. Nothing. They just went to my website, poked around until they found the weekly Python exercise page, and paid for it. One of them a yearly payment and one of them a monthly recurring payment. I am somewhere between shock and delight. I really think that thanks to talking to people, finding out what they were interested in, surveying things, I found basically what did I do? I said to my list, what would you pay me to do, give you? And they said, we will pay you if you give us exercises. So I said, here are exercises. And they're saying, okay, we'll pay you. I mean, it's all like very mutually reinforcing. So I want to make sure also to point this out. People unsubscribed from my list every single time I posted these broadcasts. When I posted the, hey, it's coming, they unsubscribe. When I post the FAQ, they unsubscribed. I expect they'll unsubscribe when I post the final thing saying, hey, it's launching. And by the way, I'm not only going to post that, but in that launch, it also says, here are two coupon codes you can use. One coupon code, and I got this from Justin Jackson, or some of these ideas, not all of them. He's done a bunch of very impressive launches, and I'm on sometimes on his, I forget what he's calling it now, Indie Maker Slack channel and list. Not a very active participant, but I'm there. So he basically said the first N people will get an extra discount and a meeting with me to talk about their needs. And I said, oh, I can do that. So I have a super early bird discount that is only usable 10 times. That coupon expires after 10 people use it. And that gives them an extra like 30% discount and a 15-minute meeting with me. Now, they'll be excited to tell me what they're interested in because then they can get, you know, weekly Python exercise personalized for their needs. I'll be excited to talk to them because then I'll find out who are my most excited, dedicated customers. I can then possibly ask them for referrals or reviews or testimonials on what they think about the product within a short time. Right? I can say, well, I've talked to you and I'm taking this into consideration. Would you mind filling such and such a form out? And then that'll just sort of grow on itself. I also have a regular early bird coupon, which is not limited in the number of people, but it is time limited. So I'm going to send the email. It said, I think the time limit is through Monday. So I'm going to say, I'm going to send in a drip. I'm going to set it up to have an automatic broadcast just before that coupon expires saying, hey, there's only 2 hours left, 3 hours left to use this coupon. And so the people who want to get a discounted price can do that. So that's going to be my launch to my list. I am really both nervous and excited because I think there's a chance it could go really well. But of course, pitching to my list is not quite enough. There's a big wide world out there. So what am I going to do? Well, on Monday in the morning US time, because that's where most of my customers probably are, or Monday US morning is afternoon in Europe. So between Western Europe and the US, and I guess Canada also, right? That's going to be my main market where I expect to get the most customers. So I'm going to post to my blog. And from my blog, it'll go into Twitter and Planet Python. And I'm going to make sure to use hashtags that will make it more likely that people will retweet it and favorite it and put it all over. So I'm really going to try to sort of, you know, push it to all these different social networking channels where people have a likelihood of getting interested, checking into it, and so forth. I'm also going to probably, but not definitely, post it to places like Product Hunt and Hacker News. Hacker News, I'm a little worried about because people there could be kind of brutal and not nice. And I don't know how they, I've heard rumors that they don't convert very well if you're looking for paying customers. So, and that's basically the initial part of my launch. I'm going to launch to my list. I'm going to launch to my blog. And then the real marketing work begins. And then I've got to figure out, okay, who am I going to market to? And the thing is, this I've learned also from a few people, from Brendan, from Jonathan, from Philip, probably many other people do this. Because I use Drip for my weekly messages, because my messages do go out weekly, and because I'm using Drip for all this other stuff, I have people tagged as to what they have bought from me and what they have learned from me. So what I can do is once I launch weekly Python exercise is I can put in the footer of every single weekly message, every single weekly Better Developers message, hey, are you interested in improving your Python skills practically, not just, you know, are you interested in getting hands-on practical experience to reinforce what you've learned in my newsletter? Subscribe here to weekly Python exercise. And so what I can do is start to customize the advertising I give people. And I don't feel guilty about that. I mean, I'm writing them these free notes, right? So the least I can do is say to them, hey, don't forget, you can throw some money my way. And so that is going to be my next channel, right? So marketing to my list, but the people who did not sign up right away. And then it becomes a game of, okay, who can I get to come to my list? Because I'm pretty convinced I might be able to sell this to people individually, but I think a lot of people are going to need convincing that I'm actually a guy whose writing they like and whose style they like, who can actually teach them something. So I figure if they're on my weekly list for a little while, then they're more likely to buy from me. Now, I should mention also my list for the longest time has had in the footer, would you like me to come teach at your company? And there's been crickets, basically, complete and utter silence. Actually, one person emailed me and they flaked out when I contacted them and said, so let's talk about it. So it could be that advertising at the bottom of my list is not a good idea. Again, this is all hugely experimental. I'm going to see how this works out, and I'm excited by the prospect. I've never had anyone try to buy my products before they were actually launched, but I also think I have here a product that's much more sophisticated, has a much more life to it, that can really sort of help a lot of people. The other thing I should say is I decided that just having the email was not quite enough, partly because I believe that people need to interact in order to learn, and just doing this on your own is not enough, partly because I want to build up some sort of community, partly because I want to have a channel for feedback from people, not just emailing me saying, hey, that's, you know, good, that's bad, but being able to discuss it. And also very often when I'm teaching, I discover that my proposed solution is not the best. And I'd want to then keep updating the exercise answers with good ideas that people provided. So I'm also setting up a discourse forum. And the discourse forum will be private, only to people who are subscribed. And I will then, you know, interact with them and I'll hear from them. Hopefully they'll interact with each other. Part of that forum is also going to be a pair programming forum. I really strongly believe, I tell this to people in my classes all the time, just today when I was teaching. So I was teaching a very small group, it was like 9, 10 people. And I always say, please, please, please work in pairs. Like, it really will help you no matter what level you're at. And half the people, as usual, worked in pairs. And they were learning and they were interacting, they were talking, it was fantastic. And the other people were coming to me all the time, saying to me, I don't understand this, like what's going wrong? And it's so obvious to me that if they just worked in pairs, it would be better. So I am hoping to encourage and facilitate people to do pair programming when they work on a weekly Python exercise. And so I'm going to provide a little forum that they can find each other and work together. The one downside of the forum that I'm still a little torn about is, so as I said, it's going to be an evergreen campaign, meaning that whenever you join, that coming Tuesday, you get the first exercise. So this coming Tuesday, exercise number one will go out. If you join 6 months from now, you will get exercise number one. which is fine as far as you're concerned. What I'm concerned about is in the forums, people will go and sort of take a look at, as it were, exercises they haven't received yet or participate in those discussions. I'm guessing that's not going to be an issue. I really am, but time will tell. And also, I should say, while I can have Zapier do all this cool stuff with Drip, it does not look like the discourse forum that I'm hosted with handles any sort of API calls, or I want to have sort of restrictions and automatic logins, so I'll probably have to just do it myself by hand. Not so terrible, right? But it would be nice if it were done automatically to some degree, and I'm sure that will come at some point. There's also the issue of churn, right? Every single digital subscription product like this has people constantly coming in, constantly going out, and the trick is make sure more people are coming in than going out. And people leave for all sorts of reasons. They don't like Python anymore. Who would not like Python anymore, right? They don't like Python anymore. They are moving to another language. They don't have time. They dislike your writing, right? All sorts of different possibilities. And so I have to be ready for the fact that some people are just going to quit after a month or two. I have to be ready for the fact that some people are going to just, there's going to be constant inflow and outflow. And so marketing is going to be key. And where do I market and who do I market to and where do I market are interesting questions I'm still struggling with to some degree. So those are my points about my launch. I hope that was useful and helpful to many of you out there also thinking about launching products. I invite you, of course, to subscribe to Weekly Python Exercise at weeklypythonexercise.com. You don't have to actually subscribe, although it would be nice, but you can see the sales page that I set up. You can see how it's working, how this easy digital downloads works. And I'm very curious to hear what other people say about it and the reactions to what I've set up there. I should also mention a few other things that I mentioned here just to sort of summarize.
This episode is sponsored by Ruby Dev Summit, coming October 16th through 23rd, 2017. Hi, it's Chuck from devchat.tv. I reached out to some of my friends in the Ruby community to put on a completely free, no-travel conference for Ruby developers. We have speakers like Uncle Bob Martin, Fabio Akita, and others, covering topics from clean architecture to artificial intelligence and machine learning. The talks are happening throughout the day each day, and we'll have a chat available during each session. Attending the talks is free, but you need to register. Go to rubydevsummit.com.
My pick for the week is definitely Easy Digital Downloads. Wow, it is super cool. I'm probably going to be moving my ebooks actually from Gumroad to Easy Digital Downloads, just because why not? I mentioned, I think it was last week or 2 weeks ago on the podcast, that I've used Let's Encrypt for SSL certificates. Again, so incredibly trivially easy to install. It was great. Drip is wonderful as usual, and I feel like I'm just scratching the surface of what's possible with it, but it's still pretty great. I'm using Zapier, as I mentioned, and I'm doing payments through PayPal. I'm hoping that they will be good. I'm hoping they won't be too expensive. But as I said, I'm looking into other options as well, such as to checkout, just sort of, check it out and see what's available. I'm very curious to hear what you all say about my launch. I'm very curious to hear what you say about your launches and what hopes, suggestions, ideas you have for those in the future. That's it for this week of the Freelancer Show. I hope this was useful and enjoyable. We'll be back next week as a much larger panel, or at least larger than one person. Thank you all very much for listening. We appreciate your listening and your feedback. And I will be in touch with you all next week on our next episode of the Freelancer Show.
Bandwidth for this segment is provided by CacheFly, the world's fastest CDN. Deliver your content fast with CacheFly. Visit CacheFly.com to learn more.